I'm Sean McPherson with Jazz 88. We're chatting with Stefan Harris. Stefan's getting ready to bring him and his project Blackout to the Twin Cities Jazz Fest. They'll be on the Jazz 88 main stage on Friday, June 21st. Stefan Harris, thank you so much for coming to visit the Twin Cities, and thanks for taking some time today to chat with Jazz 88.
It's my pleasure. I'm really grateful to be here. If you can't tell, I'm always excited about music. I'm sitting at my piano, as I do every single day. So I'm in love with this art form and really excited to share this music with everyone.
Well, you know what? The feeling of your excitement comes off in your recordings, and I've been listening to a lot of previous interviews you've done before, and it comes off there as well. I was so stuck with the way you said that your students see that you're the first one in the practice room in the morning, and that lets them get that sense of, like, this is what it takes. And I just thought it was a beautiful inspiration to really walk that walk. In my intro, Stefan, I took concern to not explicitly refer to you as just a musician. I know you're going to be playing music. I know you have this gift with music, with the vibraphone in particular. But you've talked a lot about the fact that the path you're crafting is not just the performance of music. You've been focused on how the spirit of empathy that you've cultivated as an improviser can be valuable in a lot of situations. And it's inspiring work, but I imagine that it's had some head-scratching moments from people who go, you're a world-class musician, man. Why aren't you just calling yourself a musician? So I'm curious how the actual work has been going and how the campaign to be respected beyond just a performing musician has been going.
Well, it's been an incredible journey, and I absolutely love having the opportunity to perform music, so it's one of the great joys of my life. But it would be limiting if I were to just think of myself as a musician. Like, my job is to practice the vibraphone and to get on stage and perform. I think that would block me from really understanding that fundamentally it's my responsibility and all of our responsibilities to be of service to one another. And I have to keep the big picture in mind and understand what is the service that I'm actually providing to the people who are listening to the music and experiencing it. And I think the service is so much deeper than entertainment. I think when we come together as a band, Blackout has been together 20 years as an ensemble, you will see a sense of connection. You will see a sense of vulnerability. We take chances, we love, trust, and respect one another, and most importantly, we listen deeply to one another. We come from various backgrounds, different religious perspectives, but there's something so beautiful in the DNA of this art form that really teaches us how to take disparate voices and to see the beauty that lives in between. So I think fundamentally, that is one of the greatest services that this art form has to offer to society at large, to really zero in on the idea that we're stronger because of our diversity. There's magics that's going to be revealed as a result of that, if we have the humility, discipline, drive, and compassion to allow it to be revealed.
Stefan, similar to you, I have found that some of the most empathetic experiences and some of the experiences that get the closest to a true diversity of thought and collaboration has been in bandstand settings for myself and witnessing that spirit and that power. And I'm curious, as you've brought some of that ethos beyond the stage, especially into the work you've done with corporate groups and things like that, what kind of friction have you come up against when you see how those groups are operating? And I'm not just going to talk about the friction. Stefan, what are the moments where you've gone, oh, looks like actually these folks have already instilled a lot of this spirit of empathetic collaboration into the work you're doing? What have been the different rooms you've walked into and witnessed?
Well, it's interesting. I've worked for a wide variety of companies, from the tech world to the pharmaceutical companies to the medical field. And some of the people who get it the most quickly are people who are in pharmaceutical, actually. And I think it's because they deal with such a large failure rate. I mean, you have to think probably 85% of what they do is a failure, right? So that they can get to that one drug that turns everything around for them. So that's a collection of scientists that are really comfortable with the idea that our job is to explore the unknown. So if you don't find something that day, you understand that you probably made a pathway towards that thing that needs to be discovered for someone else. So I've always found a deep sense of connection when dealing with pharmaceutical companies. The tech world is extremely creative, but it tends to come with a lot of pressure, right? So it's a fascinating balance. And I think one of the things that they feel in the creation of music is that we're highly creative, but we're able to do it in a very relaxed state. You don't demand that you have to deliver by this deadline with music. By the end of this song, you need to have, you know, played this number of notes. What happens in the way that we function as a team is we embrace whatever is available that day. So one day it may be that the pianist really takes the lead on the song. And then the next day the pianist may be tired from a flight. And we don't talk about these things. You can feel it because you're connected to one another on stage. The bass player may step up in that space. And it's all okay because we're focused on using our strengths to reveal what the music has to offer.
I'm chatting with Stefan Harris. He's getting ready for a show on June 21st as part of the Twin Cities Jazz Fest. He's going to be on the Jazz 88 main stage. Now, Blackout has been going for 20 years, has an incredible recorded history and a great legacy as a live performance group. I want to ask Stefan Harris from 20 years ago, could you be that chill about the piano player having a bad day? Could you be that relaxed about the piano player taking a little more of the limelight on a solo? Because I'm 42. Beautiful things happen as you age. I'm 43. I apologize. Let's get that on the record. Happy birthday to me a couple weeks ago. 20 years ago, did you have that disposition where you could go, all right, he's coming up a little short today. I'm going to pick up for him. Or did you have a little more of that young man's ego and, hey, what's going on? Like, my name's on the playbill. Let's get this right sort of vibe.
Oh, it's a constant battle with the ego to this day. I mean, that I don't know that that ever goes away, right? you learn to embrace it and put it in its place and use it in the way that's most effective. But I would tell you 20 years ago, maybe more than 20 years ago, I'm not getting my age away yet, but I absolutely did not understand what we're talking about now. I can recall signing to Blue Note Records. I was still in college at the time. And I had only been playing jazz for, I don't know, 5 years, 4 years or so, because I was a classical musician prior to that. So I get this recording deal, I make this album, and we start to go on tour, and I'm on stage in front of all these people, and I'm excited, right? And so I like, okay, I'm going to play really fast on this first song. And the audience like, wow, that kid's really good. He's really fast. The next song, I play all my stuff. And the audience like, that's great. Then the ballad would come, and I'd go, and I'd play all the... And after a while, I got sick of my concerts, right? Because I ran out of ideas. And I knew the audience could feel that too. They would be on the journey with you. But after a while, I started to realize that if you relaxed, if you played an idea and actually gave the other members of the ensemble an opportunity to react to it, they were going to take your idea and infuse it with their own brilliance. And by the time that idea came back to you, it was so much bigger than anything you could have thought of on your own. But that's something, that's a life lesson I've learned from participating in the arts. And so I highly recommend for everyone out there, you don't have to become a professional musician, but going through the process of creating something really transforms your life in a very, very unique way that you can't find in other fields.
I couldn't agree more with you, Stefan Harris. I have had that experience with music, and I believe it's valuable whether folks pursue it professionally or not. Now, I was just listening to some other conversations that you've had about your background, and you just mentioned that your upbringing was a lot classical music. It was a very Black cultural upbringing, but the music that was under your hands was very much sort of Western European music. And you talked about hearing Charlie Parker early on in college and sort of feeling this revelatory moment. Got a weird question for you. Did you ever go like, hey, mom, dad, uncles, why didn't you share this with me? Like, you know, I believe your mom was a minister, a Pentecostal minister. Is that correct? And yes. And you're in these choir situations. You're in Albany area. I presume that you're probably around some jazz players. But did you have a moment, as opposed to going, awesome, Charlie Parker, did you partially go, hey, what took you so long? Why couldn't somebody slip me this record when I was 12?
That's a fantastic question, Sean. What I would say is I'd never had that moment, because what my family did and what my community did for me is they enveloped me in the culture of jazz, which is more than it's more right. impactful than the details of jazz. So I understood from going to church what it means to stand up and to sing from the bottom of your soul, to give completely in a vulnerable manner. And I also understood very clearly what it felt like to have a community that had your back, mm-hmm. that would say amen, and that would let you know it was going to be all right on the other side. So the values of jazz were deeply embedded in me ever since I was a child. So when I started to experiment and play jazz, it felt very comfortable for me. It was I knew how to phrase. I knew the spiritual intention behind the music. I could feel it. It just took time to understand the technical details of it all, which I'm still learning every day.
It's probably much better to get it in that order, in my opinion, right? To get the spirit of music, the spirit of Black culture, which is not a monolith, but parts of these experiences, to have that in your soul, to then tack on a lot of the theory. And I'm sure the classical stuff didn't hurt, you know, to know that world of things. That's got to be the better order to do it in, if you get to pick. So I rescind my critiques of your family for not sliding you a Charlie Parker record. I've been chatting with Stephon Harris. He's getting ready for a show on Friday, June 21st with Blackout. They're going to be at the Twin Cities Jazz Fest doing the Jazz 88 main stage. Can we talk a little bit about this new single, The Devil in the Details, which is a release from this year. Some beautiful playing on it. And I was just curious, you know, singles are beautiful, but they aren't always common in the jazz world. Is this the start of a full new album? Just tell me about this context of this tune, please.
Yeah, so we're gonna have a full album coming out, I believe, June 15th. And it's called Sonic Creed 2, Life Signs.
Gotcha.
So I'm on the cover of Downbeat magazine this month.
All right. Congratulations, my friend.
And it's a story about a lot of work that I've been doing in AI. I've created an AI, which the band, in some performances, actually improvises with live. So I've been in that space a lot. This article was coming out, and I have this really large album that I put together that's going to come out next year. But I felt like I wanted to put something out immediately. So I had these tracks from the last Sonic Creed album that I hadn't used. And these are like really fantastic tracks. The only reason I didn't use them is because the Sonic Creed 1 felt complete with that number of tracks. So I had a couple of tracks there. I had some other things that I had recently recorded that really held together well as a document of where I am in this moment. So we decided to release some of that music in this album, Sonic Creed 2, Life Signs.
He's on the cover of Downbeat. He's coming to St. Paul, Minnesota. He's working with AI, and he's got this new single, The Devil in the Details. Stephon Harris, I really appreciate you taking time to chat with Jazz 88, and I'm really looking forward to the concert on Friday, June 21st on the Jazz 88 main stage. We're going to play this tune, The Devil in the Details, and an early welcome to the Twin Cities, and can't wait to catch the show, my friend.
All right, thanks for the support. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to the show. We're going to have a fantastic time. We always do, because we never take it for granted.